food. It's something that we all take for granted at times, but we have so many individuals in our community where there is a need. And that's where folks like Pam steps up. Pam Ayers is a resident in Spencerport here locally, and she runs a free food stand that you might even be able to see right from the road. And she does some really cool work, and we're excited to have her join us this morning. Thanks for stopping in on Rochester Speaks.
Of course. Thanks for having me, John.
So you have this free food stand. I'm curious about where the inspiration of this came from and what this really is all about.
Sure. So this food stand started a few years ago. One of my neighborhood friends who I knew through a Buy Nothing group, she is the administrator of the group, and she found out about these free food stands that Rock Food Not Bombs, which was an organization in Rochester, was setting up. And she reached out because of our location right in the middle of the village of Spencerport and asked if my husband and I would be willing to host the food stand. And we said, of course. Something that we're very passionate about is the importance of food. And the quote we always put at the end of our posts on Facebook is, food is love. And so because we really believe food is love, we felt like it was a compelling thing to do. And so we agreed to it. And Rock Food Not Bombs volunteers actually built a food stand for us and delivered it right to our house and set it up for us. And the rest is history. We've been operating it ever since. I think we're going on 3 years.
So Spencerport Food Pantry, you can find that on Facebook, right?
Yep.
You got a very robust Facebook page there to learn more. But basically the concept of this is you're stacking this pantry with food, and then those in need in the community are coming, no questions asked, and able to take advantage of these free resources.
Exactly. Our slogan is take what you need, give what you can. And one of the set aparts with the free food stand, and there are lots around the city of Rochester too, and what sets them apart from like a traditional food pantry where you have to go inside and talk to people is that you don't have to qualify for anything. You don't have to be seen. You can come after dark if you want, even because, you know, we want it to be accessible to anybody. We want anybody to feel comfortable and safe and really free from judgment in taking whatever they need. And to be honest, sometimes I have to sneak out there and grab a box of pasta because we ran out and that was my plan for the evening. And we really don't expect that anybody should come only if they actually, you know, are desperate for food or are experiencing food insecurity. It's kind of like going to your neighbor and asking for a cup of sugar.
Yeah, that's such a powerful concept because we don't see a lot of that anymore.
We don't.
And what I'm curious about, and I think a lot of our listeners might be curious about, is there ever a risk of someone taking advantage of this and maybe taking more than they need, or just putting you in a very difficult situation?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I've had people ask about that and react about that especially when we have a big donation all at once and it's all out there. Mm-hmm. People saying like, well, shouldn't you take some away and hide it away so that, you know, one person doesn't take it all? And my response is, if they take it, they probably need it.
Mm-hmm.
We have folks that come and get enough food for their whole community. So there are some immigrant communities that live in Spencerport and around Spencerport, and they might send one person to get enough for many families. And we just don't know their circumstances, and I don't think that any of us sits in a position of judgment.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great response to that. And so you talked about starting this up and providing some of the food yourself. I know occasionally you have to take one of that box of pasta, but you also pour a lot into it. But you also mentioned to me that this can become self-sustainable too, which is just amazing. Does this mean that the community is actually coming together and not that just those in need are taking from it, but those who have those resources are able to give and that they do give and fill this pantry?
They do. It's amazing.
Amazing.
So my home office, I work as a consultant, so I'm home a lot. And I look out at the food stand all day long. And from my home office all day, I watch people dropping things off.
Wow.
And we have it set up so there's a big bin. People can just put stuff right in the bin. They don't even have to put it on the shelves or organize it. We do that ourselves. And I see people leaving stuff probably more than I see people taking things. It's actually mind-blowing. And if I put out a call for things on the Facebook page because we're running low, I can be guaranteed within a couple of hours people are already coming, dropping off whatever I need. And we have lots of great people who think about us in times of larger donations. So like the varsity boys baseball team, the Spencerport team, does a fundraiser every year where they sell produce. So people can buy a bag of produce and that benefits the school. Mm-hmm. the baseball team, but then they can also choose to donate that bag. And so we received 10 bags, which were full grocery bags of produce from the baseball team just a few weeks ago.
Wow.
That was able to stock the shelves for like days and days.
Wow. So we also talk about the uniqueness of this too, because you talked about how this does exist a lot in the Rochester community, but over on the West Side, I mean, this just speaks to how good-hearted people can be and good-natured people of Spencer Port are stepping up to help contribute here. But what kind of other opportunities exist for people outside of the community of Spencer Port? Can someone just as easily start their own?
Yeah, for sure. So there are only two others. Well, actually, there's only one other that I know of in a suburban community, and that's in Batavia. There was an Eagle Scout that reached out to me for advice about how to build one and how to set one up. You can find the specs to build one yourself online. Freefoodpantry.com, I think, is something along those lines. Has all sorts of advice for how to build these on your own. Unfortunately, I think Rock Food Not Bombs doesn't exist anymore. So they used to build them and donate them to anybody that wanted them. But it's easy to build if you know a carpenter or just a handyman who knows how to put things together. It's really easy to build. And once it's built and stood up in, on your property, it's just a matter of getting the word out. People really do just have incredibly huge hearts and want to give back. And I've seen that with my own eyes over the last 3 years, just more and more and more in people becoming involved, reaching out and asking what's needed. And I don't know, it's just been one of the most heartening things. And it's made me feel really a lot of compassion and love for my community to see how they've all stepped up. And across the spectrum, I always say that our food stand is kind of an aisle crossing endeavor, because everybody respects the need and the importance of food. And I think everybody can understand that there's a time in our lives that any one of us could be in need. And, you know, the importance of reaching out as neighbors and taking care of each other is just huge.
Pam Ayers runs the Free Food Pantry in Spencer Port outside of her home there on the main drag there in downtown Spencer Port. And a lot of people, I think, would consider Spencer Port a very nice, vibrant community where people are doing just fine, right? It's a great, happy community. But there's so much need in our world that we may not even have an understanding of, especially in a suburb like Spencer Port. So talk a little bit about how this has been eye-opening as well for you, as far as how much need there really is that we're just blinded to.
Yeah, I think every community has pockets of people that are struggling in one way or another. And Spencer Port's no different, and no other suburban community is any different. And, you know, I have two teenagers, and I think it's been really eye-opening for them to see how many people come and partake, and, you know, thinking that, oh, well, look at these lovely homes and this vibrant community, that doesn't say anything. And even people who seem to be doing well may be having hard times. So I think, again, going back to not passing judgment and understanding that people struggle with food security everywhere. In our society, that shouldn't be true, but it is. And there's also a lot of abundance. And so this initiative really just looks for those with abundance to share with those who don't have the abundance today. And tomorrow, we might have the abundance we don't have, right? So everybody's lives are in flux. And actually, we have someone whose daughter, just a little thing, has twice done a big food drive for us. And the reason that she inspired her daughter, that her mom inspired her daughter to do this, is because her mom experienced a time when she was struggling and the community stepped up and took care of her. And she really felt like this was a way for her to give back. So I think, you know, one of the things that I realized is we're all just one paycheck or one job loss or one, you know, engine breakdown in our car away from not being able to buy groceries. And, you know, none of us should judge anyone else for that. And we should all understand that there's a whole variety of need that exists in our community, whether it's suburban, rural, or urban.
That's a powerful perspective right there, that you never know what life circumstances are going to come up. And I know you don't give because you expect anything in return for yourself, but at the same time, how rewarding is it for you on a personal level to get to see those who are in need able to find the resources that they need?
Well, there's nothing that makes me happier than watching people every day from my window. Or just being out and having somebody swing by to pick stuff up and having a quick conversation. It just lifts my heart. And I've been in nonprofit my whole career. This is a really direct way to see how we can help each other. You know, working in nonprofit, sometimes it's a little bit more distant. The work I do today might not be as visible in the way that it impacts the community right away. This is an immediate way to help people and lift people up. And I don't know, it's definitely not about me and anything that I get out of it, but I'm lucky enough to get that side benefit.
And as a nonprofit consultant, I know this is related to a lot of the work that you do, but still, like you mentioned, so dramatically different because of how hands-on it is. Do you feel like it's really scratched that itch that you wanted to stay hands-on in the community and help out in that way?
It has. I used to work in direct care with kids. I did that for a lot of years, and I miss having that direct relationship with kids and families. And so this is a nice way for me to see that. Sometimes, you know, grandma might be walking by with her little grandchild and they'll stop by and grab a juice. We try to keep like individual sized servings of juices and chips and snacks for just anybody who's out for a walk. So I get to have those conversations and see people stop by and maybe get a week's worth of groceries and really feel good about that. So if I can't be sitting in a room doing play therapy with a kiddo, this is a nice second best.
And then as far as, like you're saying here, there's no judgment. And a lot of people feel like it's just too good to be true because there's just this shame that we have in our culture. If you're food insecure, this shame that people feel if they're not fully self-sufficient. But the reality is we're all a circumstance or a situation away from being in that same situation. Nothing makes anybody better than the other or more capable than anybody else. So talk a little bit about how you've been able to break down that wall of shame in some individuals who might feel like, well, I don't know if I really need this, so maybe I shouldn't take something.
I think the constant messaging that we try to put out on our Facebook page, first of all, I always write it from the perspective of the food stand. And I think that makes things feel a little bit more approachable rather than like this person that's standing there, you know, handing out food. The food stand is our community's resource. It's not mine. It's not my husband's. It's not the woman who introduced me to the idea. It's the whole community's resource. And really, it just serves as a shelf where I put stuff and you can take stuff and nobody's watching and nobody, I mean, sometimes I see people from my office window, but I'm certainly not judging. And I think reminding people that anybody can use it, it's not even about need. It's just about like, you know, if there's something in there that you want, if there's a kind of, I don't know, snack bar that you want to try that's in there that you've never had and you want to try it, cool, that's fine. You don't have to be in some kind of, certain life circumstance to need to take it. And I think that's the messaging we try to put out there. Sometimes I'll post pictures of something like a new donation that came in and I'll be like, hey guys, here's this thing that's on the shelves today. Come and get it. And it's not like, come and get it if you need it. It's like, look at this cool thing. Come and get it. For a while we were doing recipes. If we had like particular things in there, we had like a huge donation of powdered milk. And so we'd be like, I posted like a few different uses of powdered milk. And that was sort of for anybody, you know, like one of the uses was it fertilizes your garden.
Really?
So yeah, I was like, come get the powdered milk, sprinkle it on your garden, like whatever you might need it for.
Wow. But the amazing thing about this is you're so welcoming and you're encouraging people to come by and pick these items up. But nobody's taking advantage of it. At the same time, you don't have to stock this. The community is stocking it. So what does that say about the Spencerport community that people aren't taking advantage of this and that they're actually helping support it?
I think at the end of the day, well, I believe in the goodness of people. And at the end of the day, when everybody feels an ownership and a resource, they show respect for it. And I think that's what we see. People know that it's there for them to give and to receive from. And I think that that's motivating, that they see it as theirs is a really important way to make them feel a sense of ownership of it and therefore encourage them to take care of it just like they would take care of something in their own home.
Pam Ayers is from the Spencerport Food Pantry just outside of her home there on the main drag in Spencerport. As you're driving by the Tops Plaza, you'll see it right there on your left, I believe, right?
Depends on where you're coming from.
Well, that's true.
If you're coming from 531 heading north, it'll be on your right side.
Yes, that okay. That makes sense.
On the corner of Union Street and Lyle.
Okay, very good. So if we want to drop off any food, or if we're in need or not, and want to stop by and see if there's something there that we'd like to pick up, is it open all day long? Is there there's no hours on this? This is just a totally open community resource.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's open all the time. My husband installed lights in it, so even if it's dark out, they're motion sensored, so people can see what they're doing. They don't have to get out their phone flashlights. They can actually function in there and see what's in there. So our driveway is right off of Lyle, the road that goes down to the school in Spencerport, and you just pull in and help yourself to whatever you might want, or leave things in the bin and we can stock them when we get out there and get a chance.
Perfect. The corner of Lyle and Union, that is in Spencerport. And finally, Pam, food is love. That's what you always like to say. That's really, really powerful, that this goes beyond just food or fulfilling the physical need that we have of hunger in our bodies. But why does food go beyond that? Why is food love?
So when I was a kid, my dad took up cooking as a hobby, and there was nothing more nurturing that he would do for us than to cook us a meal and sit with us all sharing around the table and to watch his eyes light up to see the enjoyment we had in the food that he prepared for us. And I love cooking. It's one of my hobbies. If I could open up my own cafe, I would absolutely do that tomorrow. I think there's nothing more nurturing than feeding people. And so this is my way. I can't cook for the entire community. I would if I could. But this is one way that I can help get people's bellies full, because when our bellies are full, our brains work better and we're able to make all the other choices we may need to make in life to feel good and stay healthy and, you know, just kind of move along happily. So, if I could physically make a meal for everyone, I would. But this is secondary. This is the next best thing. So.
You could feel the love both at the food stand, but also up on Facebook, Spencerport Food Pantry, correct? You just search that and like the page, interact with that, and just see all the cool stuff that you have going on, because it's just such a positive community that you have there on Facebook and physically in the community. So, Pam, thank you so much for all that you do, and thanks for joining us this morning to talk a little bit more about this concept. This is just so cool.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks so much for having me.